Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Redskins Talk the Podcast. I am JP Finley, the Redskins insider at CSN Mid-Atlantic. Check me out at JP Finley CSN. I'm joined, as always, by Rich Tandler. Rich is the man with all of the Redskins information. Tandler, what's up, dude?
Hey, doing great.
We already talked on Monday about how big of a win the Eagles game was for the Redskins. So it's time to look ahead to the Detroit Lions. I know you are a numbers guy. Have you had time to dig into Detroit quite yet?
I looked at them a little bit. One thing that kind of struck me, actually the first thing I saw that struck me, this will be in Real Redskins this morning, that Matthew Stafford, who seemingly has been playing forever, is about 6 months older than Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
Yeah.
To me, that's super interesting because, I mean, we know that compared to how many starts he has, Cousins is not young.
Yeah, Cousins, in fact, I just tweeted this out, Cousins is making his 32nd start, so he'll actually have two full seasons as a starter under his belt.
But he's what, 28?
At the close of business on Sunday.
How old is he, 28?
Yeah, they're both 28. Stafford was born in February of, I guess, 88 guy, and Cousins, I think, is August.
Where did you live when you were 28 years old, Tandler?
28? I was in Herndon, I think.
28?
Somewhere in Northern Virginia.
Yeah. 28, I was either still living in Northeast D.C., or I may have been living in Wilmington, North Carolina at that point. I'm trying to... What year was... It doesn't matter.
I'm sure the listeners are fascinated.
Yeah,
live.
Right. Well, we know where Kirk Cousins lives, and that's Ashburn, I assume.
Right.
So I think, looking at some of the stuff around the Lions win games by outscoring opponents, and I'm not sure that they can outscore the Redskins. The Redskins' offense can move the ball.
That's some genius there, JJ.
You and Kime are just...
I know what you mean, though.
You and Kime Sunday in the press box. Go ahead.
So, anyway, yeah, I know what you mean. Games offensively, they're not so much on defense, but I tell you, they have a weird offense. Four out of the last 5 years, they've been in the top five in passing attempts, and that's, of course, Matthew Stafford. This year, they're 20th in passing attempts. They're trying to run the ball a little bit more, but they're also down, I believe it was 21st in rushing attempts. So, you know, they're not generating a whole lot of offense, or I think they're generating it in spurts. I think in the games they've lost, they've not been able to generate much. I think they had a 17-16 loss to the Titans, a couple of the games like that, and they've had some games where they've been able to move the ball and score. So, you know, it's kind of a a different looking Lions team than the kind of, you know, the kind of air show that we're used to.
Well, the other thing with them trying to run the ball, they started Justin Forsett last week, and they signed him like 2 days before. They're hurting in the run game.
Yeah, but actually, kid named Zenner actually got most of the carries. They started Forsett. I think he got 8 carries. Kid Zenner, who was an undrafted free agent from last year, actually got 14 carries. So maybe Forsett, but that Amir Abdullah, who was supposed to be the number one back, foot surgery, he's on IR. Theo Riddick, who was the number two guy, missed last week with a hip injury. He's up in the air. He's a guy we want to keep an eye on the status of this week. So, you know, they could be back to the same guys, Forsett and Zenner.
I think the health of Theo Riddick's a big deal for the Skins. He's the kind of guy that could really give them trouble because they go to him a lot in the pass game out of the backfield. And for 2 games now, the Redskins' defense has really tackled well. But he's going to be a chore for the Redskins' linebackers. Compton, Foster, maybe they get Cravens back this week. Those guys are going to have to tackle Riddick if he's playing, and it's not easy to do.
Yeah, he's a pretty elusive ball carrier there. So, but again, just keep an eye on his practice status as the week goes on. I'm sure we won't know anything for even partially certain until Friday.
Let's you and I speculate on injuries for a bit, shall we?
Okay.
Sua Cravens, I have a feeling he plays this week in Detroit. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think Jay Gruden indicated that his activity is kind of stepping up a bit this week, and that's a good sign. I think there's a pretty good chance he'll be all the way back by Sunday.
What about Jordan Reed? I still don't think. I mean, you just don't know. So this one, to me, is tough to speculate on because of the history there. But I think he gets at least 2 weeks off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the independent neurologist, if he, you know, I guess they try to factor in everything. You know, I don't know exactly what the guidelines say about history, about things like that. You know, are they going to send, you know, are they going to use the same standard for Sua Cravens, first NFL concussion that we know of, as they will for Jordan Reed, you know, are they just going to sit Reed an extra week just to make sure? That's what we don't know. But he's visiting the doctor on Tuesday, so yesterday he visited them, and we haven't heard anything. But I think you're right. Bottom line, after all that, I would be surprised if he plays, but certainly nothing official at all.
I'm looking at the Lions' stats, and you're better at this stuff than I am. It appears to me that they do not turn the ball over much. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think they have what, 4 or 5 turnovers.
Yeah,
on the year, but they're also not very good at taking it away.
Right.
I only have 4 or 5 taken away. I can't remember which one, but I was looking at it earlier, too.
So they're near the top of the league in keeping the ball, I guess, in not turning it over. But then again, they're near the bottom of the league. So the ranks I'm seeing are that they're 5th in the league in not turning it over, and that they are 30th in the league in creating turnovers or getting takeaways,
right,
as Joe Barry likes
to say.
Yeah,
I tell you what, Matthew Stafford, it started under Jim Caldwell, but really when Jim Bob Cooter, everybody's favorite offensive coordinator name, when he took over, he really got Stafford to cut down on his interceptions. I mean, he was never, you know, he's never led the league in interceptions, never horrible with it, but he's thrown, you know, 19, 14, 15 in his career, and they've really gotten him to cut down on that. So that's a, you know, he's not nearly the turnover machine that he used to be.
Right. So, Tandler, I have Chick Hernandez, our friend, is coming on the podcast after you. I'm a little worried about what jokes he might say about Jim Bob Cooter. The other stat, Go ahead.
It's not a live broadcast, so you can you can edit out anything totally inappropriate.
That's true. Although I still don't know what the rules are on a podcast. Like, if you were to drop an F-bomb, I think we could just roll with it. I'm not saying we would, but I don't think there's like, you know, this. I don't know. I don't know what the broadcast rules are. I also don't really plan on finding out.
Right. Exactly.
How about this? Matt Stafford has been sacked 15 times this season in 6 games. So what is that, about 2.5 a game?
Roughly, yeah.
How about that? I did some math.
Yep. Exactly. So yeah, you know, I think that's what really got them going against the Eagles was getting this sack on the first play. I think they got another sack in that first series. You know, just right out of the gate, really getting to Carson Wentz. Now, of course, Stafford isn't going to get rattled like Carson Wentz did. Although Carson Wentz made some great plays, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought he played very. You know, I thought he played pretty well in that game, considering. You know, he played without a right tackle the whole game, and not much of a running game for time. But anyway, you know, you're not going to. You know, Stafford's a little bit more elusive. He can throw the ball a little quicker. But I think if they can get some pressure on him early. You know, that's the whole thing. Getting stuff done early in that dome, I mean, they, you know, Lions fans, they will, you know, if you go 14, if the Redskins go 10-0, 14-0, they will, you know.
Head for the exits.
They won't make any noise.
Right.
If it's tied up 14-14 and they're, you know, 20-21 going into the fourth quarter, Redskins are going to have all kinds of noise to deal with.
I mean, in a way, the Skins' offense for... I mean, I guess not in Baltimore, but against Cleveland, in New York, although they didn't score touchdowns, but and then certainly against Philly, the Skins' offense has been starting fast. So when you couple that with getting big plays on defense early, I mean, that really changes the tone of a game. And I don't know. It's tough to take too much from the early sacks on Wentz, just because that dude playing right tackle for them, whose name I cannot say, Big V, he was terrible. So you gotta be honest about the sack totals in that game. That said, you know, the Redskins rank, I think they're tied for 6th in the NFL with 16 sacks on the season. I mean, as much as everybody talks about the Vikings defense, the Redskins are only 3 sacks behind them. I think they intend to keep the pressure on Matt Stafford. I think Josh Norman, if Josh Norman plays this Sunday how he did against the Eagles, and I think that will seriously limit Marvin Jones, who has been great for Detroit, not to take anything away from him. But if you limit Matt Stafford to one side of the field, I think that is going to have him throwing into spots that might get a little tight that he thinks he has the arm strength to get to.
Yeah, and, you know, you get Breland back playing well. I think Breland wants to pick off a couple of passes, I think, just to show that he's back. So he'll be, you know, he'll be trying to, you know, but it's hard to bait him. You know, I was going to say, you can try to bait him. That's hard to do. You know, Stafford's a veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
Been starting since 2008. And it's hard to, you know, there isn't a whole lot he hasn't seen. The secondary, you know, they, a couple of those sacks against Wentz were covered sacks, especially the late ones.
Well, Ricky Jeans, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking sacks. Can I ask you something that I find pretty wild and almost hard to believe?
Okay,
Lorenzo Alexander has 17 career sacks. This season,
right,
at age 31, Lorenzo Alexander has 8 sacks. He had 9 sacks in 8 years coming into this season, and now he has 8 sacks this year. What in the world is going on? I mean, that is a Daniel Murphy-esque spike in production.
Yeah, it's you know, I guess it's about opportunity, really. I think, you know, he played linebacker here. He played some. I think he played...
He played mostly specials.
But you know, I think when they first converted to 3-4, I think he played some outside linebacker. You know, but yes, he was mostly a special teams guy. And then he signed with the Cardinals. You know, he thought he was going to have an opportunity to start there. And I think he was getting close to starting, but he got injured. I might be wrong, but I think his first season in Arizona, he got injured, and then he left there as a free agent. You know, I can't remember if they decided to let him go or if his contract expired.
He did a year in Oakland.
Yeah, you know, right. Oh, yeah, that's right. And then the bubble, you know, right place, right time. You know, it's really what it's about a lot of the time is that, you know, it's good for him. He's a great, not just a great guy in the locker room and a great guy to talk to the media, but also a great guy in the community.
But, man, prior to this year, he had one sack in 3 years. That's playing, you know, a bunch of games. It just... Whenever I see numbers like that, it stands out, and it's wild to see. And like you said, by all accounts, Lorenzo's a good dude, so good for him. But that's remarkable to see. Everybody was worried when Junior Galek went down. Little did they know that losing Lorenzo Alexander back in 2012 would come back to bite him like this.
That's right.
Speaking of, I think the Redskins' D line has been pretty impressive. I think Trent Murphy coming into his own has been a surprising but really, really encouraging development for the Skins.
Yeah, you know, it just shows why you have to be patient. You know, I think if you talk to half of the fans out there, they were ready to cut him, move on. He's a bust, you know, second round bust, and so on and so forth. But some, you know, sometimes guys just need a chance to work to get to become effective. Learn the game, learn the ropes, learn everything. It just takes some guys longer than others, and just because somebody doesn't contribute right off the bat doesn't mean you can't be a useful player somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I mean, you say that with Murphy. He's only a couple years in, but certainly a guy like Alexander. I mean, there are plenty of examples of guys hitting later in their career. One example of a guy hitting right away in his career is Jamison Crowder, and I think he's only going to keep getting better and better, honestly. I think what he showed on that, how about the screen they threw to him early? It was 3rd and 18, and it was basically just a throwaway. All right, we're going to have to punt. And he makes like three dudes miss and almost picks up the first down.
Yeah. I think he got 16, 17 yards on 3rd and 18.
Yeah. I mean, pretty wild. And just each week, it seems like he's making a play that surprises you. And it's not just speed and shiftiness from a smaller dude. I mean, Crowder's maybe the smallest guy in the Skins locker room. Maybe it's Chris Thompson. I don't know. But Crowder plays physical as hell, man. He'll get in there and block. He's kind of doing it all.
Yeah. You know, he's, I have some great, I thought just kind of a little left field question after they rushed for 230 yards on Sunday. And she asked him to evaluate his blocking, his contribution to the running game. And he said, I think he did pretty good. And so he said, I think the coaches will be good to me on that. So, yeah, he's, you know, and then of course the return game, that is, you know, again, being patient with a guy. You know, a lot of people wanted him replaced as a punt returner. Let's get him out of here. Let's get somebody else in there. Well, you give him this year, and he's averaging, I think his average did drop. I believe it's still 18 yards of the return in the league. So,
yeah,
I think he'll be in pretty good shape.
So I'm looking at the roster on Redskins.com as we're talking. So per the roster and some of these measurements, I imagine we could question. But the roster has Crowder and Chris Thompson at 5'8", but Crowder at 182 and Thompson at 195. So those two are tied for the shortest guys on the team. I think both of those guys play very tough. Thompson, I know occasionally fans will talk about Thompson in pass protection. I think he does a great job of identifying blitzers and helping, and he's really good as a chip blocker out of the backfield. The lightest guy on the team, I'll give you a guess. This is not a surprise.
Last guy, Nate Sudfeld.
Nate Sudfeld's like 8 feet tall. You think he's the lightest guy on the team?
Yeah, that's true.
Did you think I said whitest guy on the team? I said lightest guy on the team.
No. Who is it?
Deshaun, 175.
Ah, okay. And of course, that makes sense.
Well, and he even bulked up a little bit this offseason, I thought.
Yeah, they don't always update, but, you know, the weights on the rosters are not necessarily indicative of their actual weights. Barry Cofield was listed at 306 forever, and he was up to at least 320 when he was playing nose tackle. So,
right.
Those are not always to be believed.
Well, and they've got Morgan. They got Ty Nsekhe at 335. I think I would take the over. That guy is a mountain of a man.
Yes, no question.
Here's another one. They say Will Blackman's only 6 feet. I would think Blackman's a little taller than that. I stand just about. I mean, he's taller than me, and I'm just about 6 feet. So I don't know. What do I know? Enough height and weight talk.
Right.
So, without Jordan Reed, what'd you think of Vernon Davis?
What do I do? Like, pretty much what they did last week. Just shove the ball to other guys. I think Vernon Davis played pretty well. Two receptions, both of them pretty important, catching a touchdown, and caught like a 30-some-odd yarder down the sideline there. And, the thing is, missing a guy like that for one or two games, you can get away with. They kind of did last year, although they didn't win either of the two games you missed last year against the Falcons and against the Jets. But you can get away with it for a few games, and then they start to the other team starts to look on film and sees what you're trying to do to compensate and takes it away. So. No, I think the Redskins, they still need to keep on mixing it up, still need to try to find different targets and work it that way.
Ooh, Tandler, I got something I want to ask you about.
Okay.
Stephen A. Smith. Have you seen the latest?
I didn't see it. I did read the Bog Steinberg's little transcript of it.
What the hell, man? Like, Baker and Ricky are walking off the field having an emotional reaction to, and one thing I think that's being forgotten now is that they were home underdogs to the Eagles, and generally the Skins have kind of been still laughed, they're not thought of highly around the NFL. I think the reaction that we saw from Baker and Ricky was fairly warranted, or certainly didn't warrant the criticism that Stephen A. leveled their way. I mean, I get...
Yeah, it's not like we went into the locker room on Wednesday, 72 hours after the game was over, and they were doing it then. It was like an immediate reaction coming off the field. Hey, look, Stephen A. Smith, he's a Philly guy. I don't know why. You were talking on the podcast on Monday about how that you were talking to our good folks at CSN Philly and how they kind of completely dismissed your prediction that the Redskins would win the game. And for some reason, they had this massive superiority complex up there. And look, maybe over the last, if you look at the past 4, 5, 6, 7 years, maybe it's warranted. But, hey, Redskins have beaten the Eagles 4 in a row. I'm not sure what anybody from Philly would have to say about being frauds or fakes or why. I can't remember exactly what Stephen A. said.
Well,
I don't know why anybody has any room to do that.
Well, and my thing would also be just, and I get the nature of that show, and a lot of what Stephen A. does is to go over the top. But his reaction just seemed so hollow to me. Like, Like, there's no way you could actually feel that way watching that video. That
it was contrived.
Yeah, like, there's no way those guys are losers for reacting that way coming off the field. It's just contrived, yes. Hollow, transparent, I mean, I don't know. Whatever term for vapid you like is what I would go with.
Vapid is also good. Enough of contrived vapid conversation.
All right. Mr. Tandler, how do the Redskins win on Sunday?
It's like I said earlier, I think getting out to an early lead, which they've been doing a pretty good job at, is especially important in a dome and environment like that. And especially with a team like that where, the fans will pack it in if they're not going to try to rally the troops. They've seen as much discouragement as Redskins fans have lately. So there's that. And, I think they can run the ball, but, it'd be good to see Kirk be a little bit sharper. Posted on RealRedskins.com yesterday about, how he's kind of in between where he was at the beginning of last year and the end of last year. He's kind of in the middle. And, if the Redskins are going to be a not just a contender to make the playoffs, but, a playoffs and one and done is not what anybody wants anymore. They're going to beat the playoffs, maybe get a bye. It's just asking a lot, I know. But Cousins is going to have to be the guy he was at the end of last year, and we haven't seen that yet. So if we can start to see that on Sunday against a defense that's kind of worse third down conversions now, by the way. The Redskins, over the last couple of weeks, have moved ahead of them a couple of spots. Lions are now 32nd in third down conversions, 32nd in the red zone. So, I think everything's there for the Redskins to jump up early and not put it on cruise control, but, just control the game the whole way.
Can I ask one question real quick?
Yes.
Did you just say the Redskins need to get a playoff bye for this to be a success?
I think that's the easiest way to win a playoff game. I think it would be there at home as the team starts to play. But I think that we need to win a playoff game. I think they need to advance. Not like I would call the whole season a failure. And it obviously would depend on what it looks like. But if they're 9-7, 10-6, win the division, go out in the first round, I think that would be a disappointment.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's different than, I think, the first round bye. I also think because they kind of have this knock on them, who have they beat? They haven't beaten anybody good. If you win a playoff game, that goes away. Because unless it's that Lions team that won in, 2010 with 7 wins or whatever, you're beating somebody good in the playoffs. The Redskins need to focus on winning the division because I know we talked about this on TV the other night. I think that Cowboys team is legit. Ezekiel Elliott is really good. That offensive line is really good. I don't think they will be silly enough to make a quarterback change. I think the Cowboys are here to stay as far as competing for the division.
Yeah, no question. I think their defense is suspect. But I think after what the Redskins did to Philly the other day, I think every division and every defense in the division is suspect also. So, they might be able to get away with the defense. It really isn't that sharp. That running game helps them out a lot. I haven't looked at their time of possession, but I'm sure, that's how they were able to do it when they were 12-4 a couple of years ago with the defense that was just as bad. They just kept them on the field, and they could only do so much damage.
All right, quickly, I know we both got to get out. Redskins' record at the bye week is what?
I'm going to go 6-2. I think the Bengals are hurting. They're reeling right now. I think the crowd there is going to favor the Redskins. That will be more like a home game for them than when it is actually a home game for the Bengals. And I think Detroit, that's a game they should win. So I'm going to go 6-2.
All right, you heard it here. Tandler, thank you very much, man. I will... I see you every day, so I will see you soon.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye. Very excited now to welcome in Chick Hernandez. Mr. Chick, as I call him, has been covering the Redskins. I mean, how long, Chick, you've been driving out to Ashburn?
Oh, geez. Too long, for one. You know, when I think, back in the Fox 5 days, 1994.
Wow.
Is when I started, yeah. Wow is right, yeah.
So was that 94? Would that have been like Pettibone's year?
No, I had, it's hard for me to remember. That's kind of sad. And Charlie Casserly has,
Would it have been Norv's first year?
No, I had Norv.
Okay.
Yeah. Had Norv, and when you drive out there, it was Ashburn, and the drive back never took 2 hours and 18 minutes like it does now.
Oh, my God, that drive is so terrible, man.
It's the worst drive in America. It is the worst drive in America, and depending on which way you go, I used to go take the Beltway and risk it and look at my Waze app and do all that jazz and say, okay, I got a chance to get through this, but no, you really don't. I'm after 2:30, 3 o'clock. You really don't.
I
go the back way, a different way, and quite literally, I get home 20 minutes or 30 minutes later than I would have going the other way, but I never stop moving. I'm always going in the right direction. I put the top down and I smoke a cigar, and life is good.
Yeah, you might have the right idea. So for our listeners, Chick and I both live in Maryland.
Yep.
And so that means getting out to Ashburn for practice really isn't a big deal. It's
no,
you know,
45 minutes
Beltway to the toll road. You can haul if you want.
Yeah.
Back though, so. I still do toll road to the Beltway, and I'm messing with Waze and driving through random neighborhoods in McLean. Some of those in McLean neighborhoods are outrageous, man.
No,
some pretty homes in there.
They're great. I'll take 15. And I'll take the White. I'll do the White's Ferry sometime.
That's a very
picturesque drive.
Yeah,
very picturesque drive. Or I'll take 15 all the way to 70, and then to 270 at ICC. Again, I'm moving. I'm grooving. So
yeah,
the Beltway. I just have a problem with packed traffic. I will fall asleep at the wheel.
Well, we don't want that.
No, we don't.
All right. Well, I hope Chris Russell listens because we just started our segment here with some serious traffic talk.
Chris should be a traffic reporter.
He should. All right. How about these Redskins, man? 4-game win streak. What do you think?
I don't know what to make of these guys, and we were a bunch of us were forced. I say forced. I don't make predictions. I don't like predictions because
right. It
means nothing.
Right.
Unless you pay them off after the prediction, it really means nothing. It's just what you may think, but you do it for a bit till you do it for, you know, whatever. And so the Washington Post asked me, and it's the first time I've done a prediction in forever, and I just don't enjoy them. I just really don't. So I said, all right, you know what? 11 wins. And people gave me so much grief. I still don't think they win 11.
Including yours, truly.
I feel better about myself now. You know, like, okay, 4-2. After 0-2, I told everybody, see, that's why you don't make predictions. They're winning, and they're not doing it pretty. But they are, I believe, beginning to find an identity, certainly defensively.
Yeah.
It's taken a while. Offense. You can see the potential there to throw up just huge numbers if they can not make the bonehead mistake or when Kirk throws a perfect pass and DJX, he catches most everything, you know, and drops that perfect pass, which is hard to take because you've been complaining about getting the ball, you know, not badly, but, you know, I'm open, and then boom,
right. He
hits you in a perfect pass and you miss it, or you have a penalty, or you have a guy shooting a freaking jump shot for a touchdown celebration that caught 15 yards. I just think the offense is close, and it remains to be seen what happens with Jordan Reed. But even without Jordan, they can still be very potent with Jordan and with the knowledge that Kirk has that he has a lot more guys now to go to. I think they can be really dangerous.
Yeah, I still think they haven't looked as good as they can yet offensively.
Yeah.
I think they flashed it. I think the first quarter against Cleveland, the first quarter against Philly, They've shown that they can pile up points. You know, I asked Deshaun. So Deshaun was on with us, obviously, after the game in Redskins Extra. And as he was leaving, I asked him about that catch. Actually, I didn't even ask him. Somebody in the hallway kind of busted his chops about it.
Right.
And he admitted that he was focused on getting both feet in bounds before he made the catch.
Right.
And when you rewatch it, you kind of see that he's almost looking down at his second
right.
foot. But, you know, he'll tell you, you got to make that catch. You got to get that touchdown.
Yeah.
What do you think? So, for me, the most impressive win is the Eagles game. Because while that game was tight, there was no, they didn't get an off, the Philly didn't score an offensive touchdown.
Right.
The Redskins were in position to blow them out. It just kind of some fluky stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
So if we agree on the Eagles as the most impressive win, and I don't know if you do, but I'm curious what you think is their most impressive win on this win streak. And if you think it's the Eagles, tell me what I guess you think is the most, the second most impressive win.
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, I think Eagles would be the most impressive. And really what's even bigger coming out of that win is the psyche of one Matt Jones. We saw him run downhill for a larger portion of a game this time. He's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing this upcoming up to this game. And I think when he saw Fat Rob running with authority, that kind of changed his mindset a little bit. I love the way he ran the ball. Matt Jones, love the way Rob does. And I really like Chris Thomas as well. It's difficult to have a three-headed monster in that backfield, but if you can get Matt and Rob, you know, having their own internal competition, man, you open so many things up, and the yards after contact become huge, and that's what these guys provided. I think Eagles is the most impressive. I mean, you go to Baltimore and you hold them to 10 points. You know, and to have a defense that has, what, they haven't given up a touchdown in the second half of the last four games?
They haven't given up a touchdown in six quarters.
So, I mean, they're doing things. So I would go Eagles 1, Ravens 2. Yeah.
I still think the Giants game was kind of their most important. I think.
Well, important or impressive? You asked me impressive.
You're right. And I think I think I might say impressive. Now, the Ravens win was big, obviously.
Yeah.
But that Giants win, they absolutely had to have. They were on a road in a place they typically play pretty bad.
Right.
And the Giants, I mean, hell knows what to make of that team. But the Giants still, I think, could be pretty good.
They could be. But it's proven now that you can, unless you're a kicking net, you can get an Odell Beckham Jr. net. So I think, yeah, I mean, they were impressive wins. You're asking me to rank them, so.
Right.
I'm going with that. I mean, the Giants game, you're absolutely right to go there and do it in a windy arena.
And being 0-2, yeah.
And to have Trent go and have to switch to left guard. It's impressive from that standpoint, where they did it, not with duct tape, but close enough.
All right, I'm going to switch gears. Are you seeing any of this Stephen A. Smith, Chris Baker stuff? Have you seen any of this?
I saw a little bit of it. I did see a little bit of it this morning. And I kind of cringed when I saw Baker going after him, because I just, you know, at this point, I think Stephen A. is now going to just fuel the fire a little bit, but.
Yeah, I mean,
not the latest.
I think from a TV perspective, Stephen A. loves that Chris responded.
Absolutely.
So that there'll be more viewers for First Take.
No question.
I don't blame Baker for responding. I think Stephen A., and I get his shtick and kind of what that show is all about, being provocative, and I understand that, but.
Right.
A lot of this is coming from a tweet I sent of the video of those guys leaving the field, coming in the tunnel, and they weren't wrong, man. Almost every pundit picked the Eagles to win that game. The Redskins, by Vegas, by the odds makers, are still right. are still the long shot to win the NFC East. So right. what Baker and Ricky said was totally fair and not out of line. And so I don't blame them for getting upset on this one.
No, it's what they're feeling.
And right.
That's the bottom line. It's their perception of how they're being perceived. And so sure, why not? You win a game, you have every right to crow. Simple as that. And for somebody in the media to say, "Well, you guys need to calm down," that's like the NFL saying, "Hey, you can't celebrate too much after a touchdown."
Right.
Shut up.
Right.
Just shut up. You know. But Stephen A. is a bombastic dude, and that's his shtick. And fortunately, our cameras are there. And that's the greatest thing. I mean, I was asked, on a national show I host, what is it about those cameras in that hallway, and why are the Redskins always chirping at us? And it's just the beauty of that location, and they've gotten used to us being there, and they feel comfortable enough knowing that whatever they do right there is going to get out to the country, really.
Well, I mean, we all saw what happened with You Like That, and
yeah.
And
yep.
I think everybody, in a way, would love a You Like That moment. And not that this is that, because this is a very different... You Like That was just like a pure celebratory, like... explosion, right?
A release.
Yeah. Versus this is something different. But it's not that dissimilar. I mean, it's still a viral moment from that same location. And
no question.
So, all right. I think we're on the same side here that Stephen A. is doing what Stephen A. does. But
yes. Yes, he is.
All right. So Rich Taylor and I just talked about this, and I said to Rich that I'm really curious what kind of reaction I get from Mr. Chick. I'd like to discuss Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter.
Oh boy! Oh boy! And what was Rich's take on that one?
Well, Rich just reminded me that I am able to edit this broadcast should we need
to. That's good.
It's not live TV.
Well, in light of our illustrious Republican candidate, I think I'm going to stay away from the Cooter for now.
Perfect. you nailed that.
Yeah, thank you.
So I just did a quick Google search of Jim Bob Cooter. And there is a website, so it's the Lions SB Nation site. We know the Redskins SB Nation site is Hogs Haven, if you've ever been
right.
on that.
Right.
The Lions SB Nation site is selling a Jim Bob Cooter for President t-shirt.
Oh, boy. At some point, wouldn't you have to just change your name?
I mean, but you can't really change your last name, right? Like...
Oh, you can. You can have it.
I guess
you can have it legal. You can have it legally changed.
But it also helps that it's Jim Bob. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's completely. I don't know. You're going to get me in trouble, and I don't want to be in trouble.
Oh my god, this website I'm looking at says that in Detroit. So before we just keep talking about this dude's name, let's also point out that what the Lions offense is doing this year is really pretty remarkable. Matt Stafford's been a guy that has always thrown picks throughout his NFL career. And this year he's really protecting the ball, and they've looked good without Calvin Johnson, which a lot of folks didn't expect. So
they're impressive when you go that way. They're 15th in the NFL as far as offense goes, but they are playing at a higher clip. Despite the fact that the big fella's gone, that is very surprising that they are hanging on like that.
Right.
No question about it, which happens sometimes, you lean on somebody and finally you go, you know what? We got to do this. He's gone. And
right.
Same thing, I think, with the Redskins and Jordan Reed last week. They knew he wasn't going to be there late in the week, and guess who caught a touchdown? Vernon Davis. They said, we're still going to go to that position because our scheme still works. So, yes, Jim Bob Cooter has a pretty good offense going right now for the Detroit Lions.
So, this website I'm on, Pride of Detroit, Do you know what they call what's currently happening in with the Lions?
I'm afraid you're going to tell me, so go ahead, I guess.
It's the Revocution.
The Revocution. Wow, that's just, it's getting worse. That's what it's, doing. It's just getting, the Revocution.
Yeah.
What do you want from a guy who went to the University of Tennessee, for God's sake? I mean, wow. The Revocution.
Yeah, man.
And it's got a brother named Jack. Jack Cooter.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. Oh. Yeah. Jack Cooter. His parents are Lance and Ellen Cooter.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Fayetteville, Tennessee.
I'm giggling like a school girl.
I want to keep my job.
Indeed, as do I. So we'll move on. We will move on. I asked Rich Tandler this, and I'm curious your answer as well. What is the Redskins' record going into the bye week?
Redskins' record going into the bye week. Huh. All right. Let's see here. I'm going to go through the schedule in my head.
Yeah, so at Detroit and then London against the Bengals, which nobody gets a home field advantage for that game, you know?
Yeah, I think they're 5-3 going into the bye.
So
I think they split these next two.
All right, so that's what I think too, frankly.
Yeah.
But
if they don't split these two and they win both those, Katie bar the door. Because they'll have so much confidence, even with Minnesota and Green Bay coming to town. Green Bay's not exactly the pick of the litter these days. Aaron Rodgers is struggling. So if they win those two, then this town is going to start to tip upside down. That's what's going to happen.
I think
they'll split.
It's going to go nuts around here if they do that.
Yeah.
I also think the flip side of that, and I don't expect this to happen, but should they lose both?
Yeah.
There will again be questions about, I mean, 2 weeks ago, in the last 3 weeks, Jay Gruden's had to say Sean McVay is going to keep play calling duties, and he had to give Joe Barry a vote of confidence. You know what I mean? Like, that's how crazy week to week the NFL is.
It is. And if you lose the next two, you're 4-4, and then you go to the bye week with a lot of, depending on how you lose. If you get blown out, we're going to start speculating here, which is, again, one of those things I hate to do.
For sure.
If your defense really struggles, which I don't think is going to happen, but if they were to struggle mightily in the next two games, that bye week, knowing this organization, you could see a change at the DC. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either. I think, but here's the other thing I talked about with Tandler, and forgive me, I'm eating ice cream, so my tongue.
Sorry, I'm eating chicken, KFC. There you go.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say that you hit, what's the chicken place in Bethesda that's so good?
Chicken on the Run?
Yeah, I thought you were going to hit that.
No. I had to get something close to my house so the chicken still be warm.
How's the Colonel treat you all right?
When you're this hungry? Absolutely.
All right, what I was going to say is...
Surprised you're not grilling, by the way. All I see is on Snapchat is you grilling.
Ah, not tonight. I grilled last night, though, which was great.
Well, I salivated.
Ah, yeah, they were good. But I think... so it's almost... You almost start to wonder when a win streak weighs on you rather than as a boost. So... Going to Detroit this week, there's going to be questions. Can you win five in a row? Can you win five in a row? And whether or not the Redskins are the better team than the Lions, which I think they are, sometimes there's that weight of winning five in a row. So just in a bubble, I think the Skins should beat the Lions. And in a bubble, I think the Skins should beat the Bengals. I mean, I'm a little surprised at how the Bengals have looked, but I think the Redskins have been a better team so far. So could they get to 6-2? Absolutely, but it's so different than that because of what all comes with it.
I will say this about the, can you win five in a row? I'm not a big proponent of that. I would never ask that question to them.
Right.
I know the fan base is going to go, I'm almost like a player in that regard. It's not can you win five in a row, it's, what do you have to do to beat Detroit? I don't think players really think in the NFL, unless you get deep into it, 11, 12, 13 games, that you think about it. I think at this point, they know. I think 0-2 is still so stuck in their head that they're angry. That's why you saw the outburst from Baker the other day coming off the field. They're angry, and they want respect. And what did they hear during the offseason? Yeah, you won the division. It was a division that was the worst in the National Football League. Now it's the only division with all the teams above 500 or above. They want that respect. So I don't think they think in streak terms right now. I think they're thinking, you buy in. You're buying into, and the coaching staff is doing a pretty good job of, we have an opponent this week. This is what we have to do to beat that opponent. I don't want to hear any of the crap. Okay, let's find the best way to beat these guys. And if we have to do it with, you know, all 53, then let's do that. I think that's where their mindset is right now.
I tell you what, I totally agree with you, and here's the kind of the evidence I would show to support what you're saying is, you know, we do TV after the games every game, right? And I'm in that locker room after every game, and even on the 4-game win streak, even after this last win over the Eagles, that they were starting to be a happy locker room, but the prior wins in Baltimore, and certainly after the Cleveland game, they were not a happy bunch. All they talked about was how much better they can get.
Right.
By far the most emotion I've seen from this team was after that Cowboys loss, and they were angry, they were desolate, they were pissed off. And I think you're right that they're still fueling themselves from that.
And they're getting that from veteran guys. That's why I'm so sorry that D'Angelo Hall is not around to be a part of this, because he would help out. But Josh Norman, even Will Blackman, who people think, oh, he's a young guy. This guy's a veteran in this league. And, you know, as he told us the other day after the game, no pressure from him. Pressure on him, which is very funny. He's full of crap, by the way.
I can't wait for you guys to talk in the locker room.
By the way, side note, you know, somebody took a shot at me because they said I was flustered during that interview. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I did it on Twitter. I had to laugh. I said, that's not even close to flustered. You know, I was trying to make my point that there was pressure, but so be it. The wannabes want to take shots at Mr. Chick every once in a while. I just talked in the third person. Yay.
I'm trying to think. I've known you 5 years now. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen you, what I would call, flustered.
Yeah, I really don't think I've been flustered.
We've played golf 2 or 3 times.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like
I'm flustered with my game, sure.
Yeah, I work-wise, I don't think I've ever seen you flustered. Maybe, I mean, like anybody's job, you and I, or people get frustrated with kind of internal politics.
Sure.
But
frustration, much different than frustration.
Yeah.
And I love that moment with Will Blackman because, you know, I knew what he was doing. You know, he was trying to be Joe Cool and do his thing, and that was fine. And I kept hammering the point about you have to feel something, I have every right. And he, you know, and he did a great job of deflecting it and telling, you know, me, he's, you know, I'm his guy, but he's not giving it to me. And then when you go at him, he's like, I'm going to delete your phone number.
Right.
So, it was good TV. That was the bottom line. That's why here's a little inside TV for folks that are listening to this podcast. If you get these guys on the post game show, and sometimes I will start off the questioning because I have something on my mind and I don't want to lose that moment. And certainly after the interview at the back end, I have the option of either thanking you and the player, or I'm going to go back in on that player. And there are certain players that I will do that with because I know they're going to give us something that's gold, and certainly Will did that. And it was a really cool moment. And it's what I envisioned the show being about 15 years ago, is players talking to players, you know, and hopefully it's the players getting players on the set, B. Mitch and Trevor, getting something out of the players. But I've become comfortable enough, and because I'm in that locker room, that I can go at them too. And you have done a really good job of picking up, you know, even in your rookie season as the, the Redskins insider of jumping on board and doing that. And that's what the show should be, is, you know, win or lose. You know, obviously when you lose, you don't get as many players. But that's what the show should be. All X's and O's stuff doesn't really...
No.
You know, for the viewer, they want to hear the emotion from the player. And certainly if there's an issue in the game, they want to hear the player talking about that issue. But they also want to see these guys as humans. And I think that's what we try to do on that post-game show. Sorry I got on that little podium there, but just want to make that clear.
I enjoyed it. And I think I got a compliment in there, and I appreciate
that.
You did.
Look. First year in the co-pilot seat there, you gotta. There's a lot of things that can go wrong, but you have quickly picked up the relationship portion of it with the players, that you can go in the locker room and bring them out and you know. Fortunately, you haven't had to deal with an 8-game losing streak.
I know. Yeah, I know. I tell you
that's tough.
That is the worst part of the job, is going in there after a loss, trying to get folks. After that Cowboys game was certainly the hardest night of my stint in the insider role. I doubt they will ever listen to this, but Redskins PR has been really good to me, and I appreciate that. All right, let's. I know you have got to get moving. You probably got cigars to smoke, and television to watch till 3 a.m. when you'll tweet out.
I have to watch some college football. I got to going up for my game I'm doing this weekend.
Oh, what game are you doing?
I'm doing New Hampshire at Towson.
Ah, cool.
On Saturday, so yes, I do have to do that.
Is there any special stuff on the pregame show we want to tease?
That's a good question. I don't think we know yet, to be quite honest.
I tell you what, while we're talking TV, what'd you think of the interview with Pierre talking about Haiti?
Pretty cool. You know, he's a tough one. You know, he's a tough one to let his guard down.
Yeah.
But obviously, there was a topic. Obviously, a topic that he was passionate about. So I like it. It's difficult. Again, inside TV talk. It's difficult to make it look different than just a regular sit down interview.
Yep.
It's cool to see you guys walking. Me. I know what's going on behind the scenes. I know that you're going to walk the same path four times while you're talking in a segment. For the viewer, that's, unless they're not, if they're not TV savvy, they don't know that, which is cool. But I mean, yeah, I thought it was a good idea. I'm trying to get Ricky Jean-Francois, because I still think it's a hot topic.
Totally.
On Facebook Live. On Wednesday to talk about that, and he had the big key sack late in the game as well. He's just been such a good guy in that locker room.
He is. He's a good guy when the cameras are or are not on, too.
Correct.
I think Ricky's a good stand-up dude, and he's going to be involved in this Stephen A. Smith nonsense, too. So that'll be – that Facebook Live will be – I mean, basically, anytime you talk to Ricky, it's entertaining, but that'll be one to watch for sure.
Yeah.
All right, last. I don't think I've got to ask you this yet, so this will be our last question. And I preface this by saying I know you don't love doing predictions and guessing how things will play out, and I recognize how much.
I may tell you to do something to yourself that's not physically possible, but go ahead.
Jim Bob Cooter. Percentage chance you think the Redskins win the NFC East?
I predicted that they would win the NFC East and the division. I mean, in the conference.
I saw.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna have to stick with that. I can't back up on it now.
All right.
There's no powerhouse yet in the NFC, and I think with the talent, and they're starting to convince me a little bit. But I know it's early. So, percentage that they win the NFC East. I would put it at, I put it at 75%.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, here's why. Yeah. I think the Eagles with Wentz will implode.
Yeah.
The Giants, again, another implosion waiting to happen. I don't think, Odell had a great week and, proposed to a kicking net. You can't have that circus.
The kicking net thing is so ridiculous.
Really good. But Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. And no matter how many times everybody argues the point about whether you take Tony Romo or not, I think we're going to see Romo again for the Cowboys this year at an inopportune time for them. And however long he lasts, it's going to cause them the division title.
How on earth they can go back to Romo, I don't get it, but I think you're right. I think Romo plays at some point.
Yeah, I mean, if they're smart, I mean, conventional wisdom says Dak Prescott can't play this way the entire season. God bless him if he does. It'd be a great story. Be rooting for him from that standpoint. Hey, great.
Right.
But if he falters, you can't just, you know, pull him the first time he falters. You got to let him work through it. I don't think Jerry Jones will let him work through it. And that's me saying Jerry Jones, not the head coach, but Jerry Jones, the president and GM, won't let him work through it. He'll say, we got to get Tony in there now. And that's going to be where the locker room then says, well, wait a second now.
Right.
You know, Tony's good, but how good is, you know, how fragile is this guy? And I still, you know, it's a back injury. Tiger Woods isn't back yet, right?
Right. Okay. Right.
So, Tony, it's stupid that he's even, I understand the passion to play the game, but if you're thinking and worried about future life, I just think it's a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's his spine, man. You don't know what could happen.
You don't know. No.
All right.
I have an extra vertebrae. There's something new. So,
wow. Breaking news.
I was told at a young age, don't play contact sports. But I just like Tony, I guess, that's as close as we'll be resembling each other. I told my mother I've got to play, you know, and I can't imagine if I hadn't played football. You know, I risked it. But I had a higher percentage of if being hit, I could injure myself, and you know, possible paralysis and all that jazz. I had a higher percentage of chance of doing that. So I get the passion from Romo, but you know, it's that old contrite phrase, Father Time is undefeated. And can he still play? Yes. In that offense, the way this league is now, I don't think he'll last very long. And it will cost them the division in the end. That's my call.
All right. You heard it here first. I'm going to go ahead and get us out now. Chick, I really appreciate you coming on, man. That was a lot of fun. I feel like I learned a lot.
Thank you very much. I did this all while naked.
Jesus Christ. All right. Big thanks to Chick Hernandez. Big thanks to Rich Tandler. You have listened to a long episode of Redskins Talk previewing the Lions game. Thank you for listening. As always, if you've made it this far, I owe you a beer. Talk to you on the next episode.
I owe you a beer.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes. Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.